Welcome back to yet another episode of Monopsony Podcast. I'm very glad you're joining us today. Today I'm going to be doing part three of an agile process that we'll go through later called deploy. I'm going to deploy this episode. Feedback came from me that people liked it when I go off on tangents, and so I'm going to do an episode on a tangent here where I take business principles and management tools of today and apply them backwards retroactively to the past to see what might have happened. I'm a huge fan of playing with history, and so our question today is, could agile project management have prevented World War I?
Now, I hope you all had an audible shudder at the question. I know I did when I first thought of it, in that A, I'm not a credible historian, and B, I'm about to go down the rabbit hole hard into two topics of history and business management, and then play in the weird and perverse world of hypothetical history. So get ready for this, because I want to hear what you think. So if any point and you want to get back and talk to me about this topic and see, you know, provide commentary on what could have been, what might have been, how we might want to use agile management going forward, or waterfall for that matter, I'm all ears. The point of this was to discuss it and put it out there and see what you all think. Could agile management really have prevented a war? You know that sound means I'm going to talk about the beverage of the evening. Tonight's beverage is a ice-filled glass, a little bit fancy for me. It has some fennel in it, and it's ouzo and vodka mixed together with a little bit of corn syrup and lemon juice to make kind of a vodka ouzo gimlet. I don't have anybody else to make it. I made it for myself tonight, but it's delicious. All right, I'm just going to give a bit of a rundown here of how this podcast will break down this evening. First, we're going to talk about, you know, why I'm talking about this topic and what it's about. Then I'm going to go into what is waterfall management, what is agile project management. I'm going to give you what background I can about World War I. Obviously, I learned a lot from listening to Dan Carlin's wonderful Blueprint for Armageddon, specifically Blueprint for Armageddon Part 1, and I highly recommend it. I also definitely read the book by Barbara Tuchman, The Guns of August, which I would also recommend that you read for additional materials if you find this topic to be fascinating. So let's get to why I'm talking about this today. I was reading The Guns of August, and I was reading and learning about how and why the Germans in World War I would try to get their army to the front as fast as possible, and in accordance with the then rules of war about declarations of war and putting forward that it's kind of on a large project management schedule. It's moving of millions and millions of people along with all of their necessities. That's food and traffic and fodder and materials and weapons and clothes and everything else to a specific place for in a specific plan. And it occurred to me as I was reading Barbara Tuchman that the Germans were employing a very consistent waterfall strategy for the deployment of the troops, all the way from A, mobilization is declared at the highest levels of government, to Z, the Germans are all on the borders of Belgium. Now, what do I mean by waterfall project management? Waterfall project management, used across businesses, is a methodology to coordinate as many people as required and as many teams as are required to complete a task. It has a specific start and a specific end. That's how you know it's a waterfall project. It will go through phases. So the first part would be you're gathering information, or step one is assembling your team. Step 1,000 or 6 or 10, depending on the length of your project, could be anywhere down the line to, say, step 1,000. And that's the end of the project with a definite end. Now, normally these are done in maybe like a Gantt chart. And they usually flow from, again, this is a Western convention, but they're going to flow from left to right, from top to bottom. So it looks like a waterfall as it flows down diagonally from upper left quadrant all the way to the bottom right, where there will be the completed project. Each task will be completed sequentially so that you have the information required at each stage to complete the task that needs to be done before you can succeed. It's kind of a stage gate. So if step one takes longer than expected, step two falls behind. If step two falls behind, step three falls behind. If step three takes less time than expected, you move on to step four. And down in the line until you've completed the project. This is why it looks like a waterfall, and that's why it's called waterfall management. That often means getting approval at certain steps. You could have smaller parts of a larger waterfall before the release of a project or release of a new product. You certainly can use it when you're having a sale or you want to make changes to your business.
Now, I think it's obvious that we are not living in 1914 to 1918. It's 2018, and I'm talking to you through what they would have considered magic, and the concept of the internet was non-existent. However, in the intervening century, we've developed several different project management tools that might, when we look back retroactively, have affected the outcome of the war, either through preventing the war and encouraging peace, or possibly from the German perspective, encouraging or leading to their victory. And the one perspective I want to get here is to talk about agile project management. Agile project management is different from waterfall in that waterfall has a start and a finish to the project. So again, we talked about it goes from the top or left to the bottom right. When you're done, you're done. When you started, you started. Agile process project management goes in a circle. It doesn't really have a start or a finish. You can come in at any point. People differ on what the actual parts of this process are, but in general, I know them to be defining your problem from data, developing a solution based on the data, deploying the solution, getting feedback that's new data, and looking for improvements and or finding your failures and going around again. It goes around and around and around and around. Analyze, develop, deploy, feedback. Analyze, develop, deploy, feedback. Now, this can be and is often faster than a waterfall method because it turns out you don't have to wait for other parts to come around. You are encouraged to move fast. Make a change, see the feedback, record the feedback, make changes based on the feedback. Was it successful? Great. Was it not successful? Change it. It is all about kind of failing towards success, is the idea of agile project management. You're going to go around the circle as many times as possible to achieve the goal that you're looking for. It was developed in response to a lot of digital initiatives where you can get feedback quickly, mobile apps, websites, SaaS service models, a lot of things can get feedback quite quickly. So you can make changes really, really iteratively.
Now, why would I think that agile project management could have been applied in World War I by the Germans to prevent the entire war? Well, let's get some context here, and I'll try to fill you in into what I was thinking, and you can give me some context as you give feedback to me if I miss points or if you think I'm completely out of my mind. Down the rabbit hole of history, here we go. In about 1910 to 1909, the plans are developed for what's called the Schlieffen Plan. Now, the Schlieffen Plan is part of the German problem trying to overcome that they would have to fight a war on two fronts. That's the Russians in the east and the French in the west. And if you have to divide your forces, where the Germans might be able to defeat the French on one side if it's just the French, or they might be able to defeat the Russians on the other side if it's just the Russians, dividing their forces means they can't defeat either. So they have to come up with a plan to defeat one of these powers and then be able to concentrate on the second one. And the plan they come up with is called the Schlieffen Plan. The Schlieffen Plan is to throw all of your weight of all of your armies in the event of war against France and leave the Russians, who are presumed to be slow, on the Eastern Front, taking more time. If you can defeat the French quickly, then you can move all of your forces back to the east and fight against the Russians. That's where we're talking about this plan, this concept comes up. And this is the impetus behind the entire idea that they have for the waterfall plan to move their forces. If the essence of the notion is time is the factor. You don't have time between when you declare war on France to when you have to have your people fighting France because they have to be back on the other side. This means your mobilization has to be fast as can be. Hence, the development of their waterfall method of how they could actually mechanize their delivery of the armies to the front. The downside of this is once the mechanisms start and the inertia goes in the waterfall plan, it's really difficult to stop and reevaluate. there are no built-in junctures for the system to stop and everyone to look around and say, is this war going to happen or not? Once it's gone, it starts. And that means that you actually don't have time for diplomacy, you don't have time for other parts that could be critical in preventing the war, or at least in having it be beneficial. Now, I see this inertia in one point during my research. Again, I was reading The Guns of August. This is the book by Barbara Tuckman. And there's about four days after the declaration of war against France, before they enter Belgium, the Germans receive communications from the British that they're willing to consider some concessions to avoid war, or during which the French also would stand down. That means they could turn all the way around and face the Russians by themselves, which is the entire goal of the plan. The Kaiser, which is the king of Germany at the time, his name was Kaiser Wilhelm II, he says, let's bring all the boys home, turn them around, which was a very much that you can change the process. But his main advisor, the field marshal, von Moltke, replies very adroitly and very quickly. He says, one does not improvise the deployment of millions. Now, I see this as the inertia of the entire waterfall plan. Once it starts at step 101, it has to go all the way through step 1,000. Everything is set in motion. You can't easily undo the plan you made because that's how the plan works. Waterfall works in that methodology of that it goes linearly and sequentially. Now here comes the big hypothetical and where we get into this, you know, counterfactual history that I'm going to present here. What if the Germans, instead of having a waterfall methodology for the deployment of their troops, had an agile methodology for the deployment of their troops to the front? It doesn't necessarily change the goals of the Schlieffen plan that they're going to put all of their forces to the west and fewer forces to the east. But it does give lots of opportunities for feedback from real time of what happens. As the von Moltke the Elder once said, I think it's von Moltke, no battle plan survives first contact with the enemy. Now, here we have to talk, and this is a little bit of the political realm here. When you declare war, declaring war is one thing. When your troops are halfway to their goal, that's something else. When your troops are three-quarters of the way there, that's something else too. There's different pressures at different points in their procedures. And having no points of reference to get feedback eliminates opportunities for peace talks in these ways. So imagine on an agile methodology that the first solution that they present is we declare war. They deploy that by telling everyone they've declared war. What's the feedback? Is the feedback that they say, oh, we're so scared of you, the Germans or the English will surrender or the French will surrender? That's not really what we would see likely to happen, but it could. And so you have to understand that the feedback, negative feedback or the absence of feedback is still feedback. Basically, we're talking about that an agile methodology would put the Germans in the driver's seat for communications of their decision-making processes. Every step they take would lead them to declare, communicate where they are and what they're doing and why they're doing it. And that gives opportunity for the other actors, the French, the Germans, the Russians, the English, to better declare their intentions so they can actually communicate and have opportunities for peace. And agile also works on other levels. So the first thing is you get one set of feedback on any deployment, on any maneuver that's declared by the German government from the corresponding governments, the French, the Russians, the British. But you also get feedback from the people and the press and how it's received in the daily newspapers every day in that feedback mention. If the Germans can control the communications narrative, then they actually stand a better chance of fighting on the, so we say, the propaganda front, which later on in the war, and this is using past history that we know past to justify, but still, if you consider that the Germans are not going to be perceived well based on their lack of communication and a misunderstandings of their intentions, then agile project management has a better opportunity to convince people that their actions are justified in the case of the population. This is especially important for who's to blame for this war later in the siding of neutral powers like the United States. On a different level, too, though, you have to consider that it's actually maybe not a smart idea to start announcing and getting feedback on your intentions. Secrecy is oftentimes a valuable weapon just as much as openness is. Well, agile project management actually puts itself on a platform to be open with information. That might be antithetical to the purposes of winning the war, given that you're giving the information war to your enemies, or at least playing on an equal playing field. It's tricky to understand here. Now, my contention is that more information for getting towards a peaceful resolution is an ideal outcome. But if your outcome is for actually winning the war and declaring that to be peace, then you might not want to think that the Germans should use agile project management. Now, even thinking this, I understand that the opposite of this is also true, because every time you take a pause to communicate for the Germans, you're wasting time. What's the cost benefit between how much time you can take off to declare your intentions and to make sure you're taking the right information in to make the right decisions as to where your troops go, how they move forward, how you're communicating with other nations, and how fast you're going? It's in the interest of the French, it's in the interest of the English, it's especially in the interest of the Russians that the Germans go slow. Waterfall, in this case, is a little bit faster, potentially, because it's not on the physical realm that this is taking place. It's not how fast you can actually move all the troops. It's how fast you can move them with the added benefit of stopping at periodic points for rest, new information, and development. How much better is your deployment be based on information than it would be if you move forward without thinking, without taking a stop, without taking in all the new feedback that's happening because of the declaration of war? I would say that it's, you know, there's a chance that based on military perspectives, the Germans wouldn't consider this option, even though obviously agile methodology wasn't invented. But they wouldn't consider it because it is in fact slower, and militarily, you can't afford to take the time. That said, if it leads to a non-military outcome, then you're almost obligated to consider the time you would take to take those steps and pause. Every time you take a new action, deploy the action, get feedback on the action from the relevant parties. And that could lead to opportunities that were unseen at the time. Obviously, this is a little pie in the sky, but I've been considering thinking about how it is that Agile is deployed in today's current modern politics as well. When the sanctions want to be deployed or anything else, it's not just point and counterpoint. We don't know the outcomes that are going to come or the feedback that comes from adversarial parties. One nation will make a move, and they'll wait for feedback, either or integrate in the absence of feedback, still feedback, before taking that in and providing a different solution over and over again, rather than a waterfall methodology with a start and a stop. All right, thank you for joining me today while I drank my Ouzo Gimlet and I meandered through the idea that World War I could have been prevented through the use of agile project management. I'm not a historian. I hope you enjoyed it. It was meant for a thought experiment and for fun, not for necessarily factual, conveyance. But if you do want to talk with me about other opportunities in the past where we can play with history and business project management or business principles, I'm all ears. What's your feedback on this? Does your business use Agile? Does it use Waterfall? What are the pros? What are the cons? How do you think that the two actually interact with society at large and to the different levels of feedback that can be received? You can reach out to me at monopsypodcast@gmail.com or, of course, follow me on Twitter. If you like this episode, let me know. I'll do more of them. We can get back into history and have lots of fun. I'll see you on the next episode.